Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, back here at Chiefs training camp. Practice is wrapped up. You can probably hear the fans behind us as some of the players starting to sign some autographs. We got Chris Jones. He's wanting a snow cone.
I'll go get him one.
Chris Jones wants a snow cone. He remembers he wasn't obviously at camp last year, so we didn't have any snow cones to give him. So Kona Ice, Cody just went to go get a snow cone for Chris Jones. We've got our guy, Chamari Connor, joining us on set as we are broadcasting here from training camp presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. Do you know about the whole snow cone thing?
I don't. This is my first hearing about it.
Yeah, so last year we didn't do it. So a couple years ago at camp, Chris Jones came on the show and it was much hotter weather. And so we started after practice. Kona Ice would always have a snow cone waiting for him.
Oh, okay.
And he wasn't at camp last year, of course. And so he remembered. So he came by, he signed some autographs, and he said, where's my snow cone? So that's that. We can get you a snow cone as well. One of these hot practices when you actually want one. How are things going for you? This is year two. So you're not the rookie out there anymore.
It's going great. You know, out there feeling way, much more comfortable, just trying to get better every day, competing against the best. So it's been a great start to camp.
What's the biggest difference? Maybe last year, I would imagine you're maybe in some way almost trying not to screw up a little bit. Now you're out here. What's the feeling this go around for you?
Much more comfortable on the field, much more comfortable with the speed of the game, how fast things move. Just going against our offense, going against a guy like Patrick Mahomes, being much more comfortable out there, just being able to fly around and make plays.
Yeah, it looks like we got the snow cone delivered to Chris Jones. I don't know, there's an extra one over here. Maybe that's for you. I'm not sure. I'm guessing that is for you as Cody's on his way back as well. What was the offseason like? You know, you, first year in the league and you get a ring right away. Not too bad. Anything fun? You go anywhere this offseason?
Yeah, it was a great offseason. I spent a lot of time back home with my family. I hadn't been able to spend a lot of time with family, so that was great. I just came back from Mexico not too long ago, probably a couple weeks ago for my birthday. Yeah, so, well, went to Cabo, so that was really
fun.
There
you go. I like that.
Did you go out with another group or, like, just you?
No, it was just me and my girl.
Okay.
Me and my girlfriend.
Okay,
yeah.
Look, that's fine, too. Sometimes people like the group vacation. Sometimes people just like the one-on-one vacation.
Yeah. Relaxing on the beach, or do you do any of, like, the excursion stuff? Some people do the little snorkeling, or do you do anything fun like that?
Really relaxing, get in the pool. Really just stand around a retreat, having fun.
Find a swim-up bar, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what I do, I'll be honest. This snow cone, by the way, is for you.
Appreciate you.
If you want one. Chris, we always feel like we should get one.
In.
It feels kind of rude if we get him one, but not you one.
I feel
Cold I'd come back with one for you. At least I wouldn't leave you hanging that way. When you talk about, there's been a couple of players now, not just you. There's been a couple of players on this team who've gotten the same benefit, which is you walk into a championship-level team and you win a Super Bowl in year one. How do you kind of go from, you know, like, how do you alter your expectations? How do you just, like, make that one season? Because it's weird when, like, that's the only thing you know at the NFL level.
I'll say just stand down. I wear this bracelet on my wrist at all times, stay hungry. So just every time I'm putting in some work, I can just look down at that, stay hungry, don't get too high, don't get too low, and just keep pushing.
I think him and I both talked about in a postseason run, we both thought you played your best football during the postseason run, later into the Super Bowl, maybe you had your best game. We felt that way. Did you?
Yeah, I definitely feel that way. I definitely feel that way. Yep.
Like, it just seemed like, is that just comfort? Like, what do you think that came from? Like, just playing better, playing fast? I mean, because they say it gets faster and all the things that come with it.
Yep. Just trying to live up to those expectations, live up to my own expectations. You know, it's playoff times. You got to – it's no more – they always say it's no more rookies in playoff time. That the regular season's over. It's a new season, so got to step up, got to be able to get in there and make plays.
It's early for camp. We know that right now. Justin Reed not out there. He's on the field. He's kind of looks like coaching you guys up, but he's on the NFI list. So some more opportunity for you. We saw also the rookie and Jaden Hicks getting some work. What's it like right now with not having him on the field, and what does that mean for you and your role?
You know, he's still right there behind us, still helping us out, still coaching me up. You know, standing right behind me. So it's been, you know, we definitely want him out there with us, but it's definitely been great having him right there, still helping, still coaching, still helping us out.
When you look at so I obviously missed the early part of the interview. We were before the thing talking a little bit about NCAA college football. Are you playing?
A little.
I'm
not that good. So
I feel like that's what everybody's. I feel like everybody's saying the game stuff. We're doing a tournament tomorrow with listeners.
Yeah.
I haven't picked up a controller for it yet.
He's in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble?
He's in trouble. So I got it early, so I've probably played like 15 games online.
Oh, man.
He hasn't played. There's a learning curve, right? The kicking's brutal.
It is.
Right?
What's
the kicking?
The kick is brutal.
Yeah. The meter is going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And then the passing, you gotta adjust.
Yeah, definitely if you're playing on Hall of Fame, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's
I'm on Heisman.
Yeah, I got you.
Do you play with the alma mater, or you mix it up a little bit?
I play with Virginia Tech.
Okay. That's why I want to make sure that, you know, like, you go Virginia Tech.
How good are they supposed to be? Are they any good on the game?
Yeah, they're pretty good. You know, they got a big year coming up. They definitely taking a big step this year, so I'm definitely excited to see who's come out.
Who's the best out of the teammates you played with right now on the game? Who's the best that's playing football?
I haven't played anybody. I just logged in and played a random person online.
Okay.
And seen I wasn't that good.
We just heard that, like, I remember the first comment was Patrick Mahomes for the first time brought a TV up because he wanted to watch the Olympics and play college football.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you at least know that he's playing the game a little bit.
Yeah, it's a lot of guys enjoying it. It's a lot of guys playing it.
From a practice perspective, that's just interesting because we're talking about Mahomes. How much do you think that helps you? Going up against a guy who can, you know, get at you better than most guys can, you know?
It helps so much playing against the best. You know, Patrick, the best in the league, so playing against him, playing against his offense, you know, he sees things that a lot of guys don't see. So just playing against him is a great – great help getting prepared for the season.
Speaking of Jamar Conner here, we mentioned the video games. We always ask this to at least some of the guests. We found out a couple years ago Clyde likes to work on cars. What are your hobbies? Like, what do you do in your downtime? Or what were you doing for the last 3 months besides vacation?
A lot of working out.
Is that it? Do you like working out then? Is that it?
Yeah. I definitely enjoy it. Yeah.
Okay. You don't work on a car? You're not like a big movie guy?
Nah. I am a big movie guy. I have movie shows, sort of.
What are you watching right now?
Yeah, what's on Netflix?
I'm watching, what's the name of it? It's on HBO.
What's the show?
The Dragon.
Oh, House of the Dragon?
Okay. So you were a big Game of Thrones guy then.
Yeah, big Game of Thrones. Then it went
is
on.
I love Game of Thrones, and I still have not watched House of Dragon. It's season two right now, isn't it?
I watched it. I watched like the first couple. Then I didn't really like it, so I had stopped watching it for probably a couple months, went back and watched them all. I love it.
Okay. Well, look, now we got our own show suggestion. We appreciate it.
Yep.
Well, you got to get better at college football, man. Maybe randomly you'll play one of us online. You can't lose to us.
Kick my ass. I haven't played yet.
You can't be losing. All right, man. Good luck the rest of camp and obviously this season going for the three-peat for the team. Sure. I know for you it's the two-peat, right? But you're going for back-to-back. So I appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, appreciate you guys for having me.
There you go. That's Shamari Conner, Chief Safety, joining us here from Chiefs Training Camp. All of our Chiefs player interviews brought to you by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau as we broadcast Post-practice today, pads come on a little bit later on in the week, and each day we're up here at camp, we'll have a different member of the Chiefs joining us from camp. And look, Jamari Connor, especially right now when Justin Reed is not there, even more opportunity for him and Jaden Hicks to get some work until Justin Reed is back in the mix. And you asked him about the playoffs, and yeah, that was by far where he stood out the most. He was playing a lot of special teams throughout
football.
The year, but he had a couple big-time plays in the postseason. And you can see the athleticism that Spags likes out of the secondary, and you can see why they can utilize him in a couple different ways, and he can be aggressive.
Yeah, no, I said that to him because you and I honestly talked about it. This isn't just like, oh, Connor's here, so let's tell him how well he played in the postseason. Go, that was a conversation we had. Jamari Connor played his best football during that time. I think that's part of the reason you and I, and Drew's brought this up because, and not even just like the outsider part of the Bengals stuff, I'm not, you know, not the joking stuff, but like, I think if you follow this team all year, like a full last two calendar years, the thing you've come to understand is their ability to find guys like Jamari Connor has been so consistent, it's hard for me to get worked up about corner two. I've watched them have, you know, that's why like I think Hicks will be good, or that's why I think all these other guys, is that guys like Connor have kept coming up through the system and replaced the guys behind them at a high level. He played great in the postseason. Gives me confidence that he could play great again, right? If that's the case. I will say, I just assumed Chris Jones had forgotten about the snow.
How about that? He came over right away.
Back.
He remembered right away. Well, he wasn't at camp last year. He held out during training camp, as we know. He was negotiating a new deal, and so the snow cones kind of went away, and it sounds like, yeah, now he's going to be disappointed, though. We're not up here tomorrow, so he's going to have to – tomorrow not going to be here, but on Wednesday and Friday we'll be back up at camp. And last year we ended up having a listener ended up taking over our spot for giving snow cones 2 years ago.
Yeah, a couple years ago we didn't even have to get them anymore. People were just showing up, supporting Kona Ice, buying them instead of me. I just cut the line again. I jumped over the chain.
Oh, my goodness.
Dude, I didn't have a choice.
What
I was trying to work quick.
And nobody cared, right? He said, this is for Chris Jones. Excuse me.
Literally.
This is for Chris Jones. Excuse me. Excuse me. Is that what you said?
I jumped over the chain because they have like an entry point now. And
did
like,
people give you a weird look?
No, the guy said, hey, he's like, what can I get for you, man? I was like, hey, I need snow cones. It's for Chris Jones. And then he was like, oh, I got you. I was like, I'll get the big ones. That way, you know, he's a big guy.
I explained when you were gone, I explained to Chamari the whole situation. He wasn't aware of the snow cones set. I was like, did you hear about the snow cones? He, of course, hadn't because he was a rookie last year and there was no snow cones. So
no.
He's on the same page now. And as the text line points out, just for about Connor in particular, you know, they're not worried about the backfield. I mean, this organization has a strong track record of drafting not just corners but also safeties, guys that are versatile, can play in different spots, maybe also helping the run game be a factor in blitz schemes. You're going to have an addition to the obvious, which is playing special teams. And I don't think anybody believes Justin Reed is going to be out long term, but
that's
right now,
quad,
take advantage. You know, and I saw Justin Reed after practice, it was just a jog, but still, he was able
to jog
to the side of off the field. Like, so it's not like he's limping around or anything.
No.
I'm guessing they're being very, very cautious with a player like Justin Reed. But Jaden Hicks, maybe we'll have a chance to talk to him during camp. Jamari Connor, our first guest here from training camp 2024, as it is cleared out now. Full house, though, and the bleachers have emptied out.
Just kind of, you know, it is. It feels it very much. I'll just be honest. Like anytime those things, like we talk about, like what makes it feel like training camp. One of those things is Chris Jones getting a snow cone. Last year, it kind of felt weird when he wasn't here because he was so much a focus.
Well, he brings energy to the fans too.
He does. He loves it.
After every drill, he'll kind of motion to the crowd and fire them up. And anybody that's been here to camp, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of the other guys, and he's still doing his thing that he needs to, but he's great with interacting with the fans, even during practice. He knows how to fire them up.
One downside. Should I feel bad? So Chris Jones is over here, and he was waiting for a snow cone, signing autographs, being a man of the people. When I got him a snow cone, signing over. I might have cost a fan or two a signature, and I'm sorry. I didn't know. I thought he would just, but his hands were full. I blew it a little, I think, two or three fans.
If you're just getting in your car.
I'm really sorry.
And you were just in St. Joe for training
really
camp.
I'm really sorry.
And you were about to get an autograph from Chris Jones. And
a future Hall of Famer, a
rude radio host interrupted and gave him a snow cone, and he couldn't sign said autograph. You know who to blame now. You know exactly who to blame.
Man, I should have waited. I should have let him fire off a couple more autographs,
But in fairness, I guess you were you should have given it to the PR staff.
I was holding the snow cone. I had an interview to get back to. I had a job.
Just hand it to the PR staff. But you be honest, you wanted to hand the cone directly to Chris Jones. I get it.
I like to put it in the man's hands.
I get it.
I like to complete the job.
I understand.
Not hand it off to some guy who works for the Chiefs.
I understand. You're in trouble. I told you during the interview with Jamari Connor. No, but you're in trouble on the video game front for our tournament tomorrow. We'll talk tomorrow about
this. Get worked?
If you qualified and you haven't received an email, there was no email. Okay, we've got a bunch of texts about it. If you qualified, your name's on the list. We'll see you at Hy-Vee Arena tomorrow at 2 o'clock. It's going to be a ton of fun. College Football 25. Yeah, there's a learning curve. As Jamari said, it's a tough game. You have a very tough game. Kicking's nearly impossible. I've gotten a little bit better. But I'm not even saying this to make you feel bad, but there is a serious learning curve to the point where if you haven't played a single game, you're going to F up. You're going to F up initially.
Will you bring it before work tomorrow?
Why?
Will you bring, I don't have a system, dude.
You want me to bring my Xbox and TV into the studio?
I'll bring the
TV. Just so you can play one game?
I'll bring the TV. I just need to bring the Xbox. I don't have the game, dude.
I know. I mean, I guess. Do I want to help you out? Is the question.
We're not going to. The odds of us playing each other are nothing.
That's true. We're going to be matched up with listeners in the first round.
I'm not trying to get just absolutely obliterated. I want to make look, I know I'm going to lose game one, but I'd like to not just get my ass kicked. Why is the passing hard?
So it's a new meter. It's a new meter. Blue, yellow, red. You don't want to hold it until it gets to the red. You're going to have more inaccurate passing. It's a little bit of that. There's also, you can what's nice, though, if you get it down, you can lead the receiver. You can use the left thumbstick to lead the receiver left, up, right. Kicking is just the meter goes so quick, and you got to stop it in the middle while holding the button down for the meter to go up and stop it at the right time. It's gonna get you tomorrow.
Established. Going for two.
So we'll talk more game tomorrow. We're also going to hear from Clark Hunt in just a little bit. Chiefs owner address the stadium issues with the future home. Is it Arrowhead? Is it somewhere else? What's the timeline? All that was discussed from Clark Hunt, and so you didn't miss anything. We'll get you that to you here momentarily as well. As we continue broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp inside the Comcast Business Tent, where they are powering possibilities. You can watch the video stream as well, Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube today. And you can see we've stepped up our game, man. We've got a nice backdrop behind us this year
Fancy.
You know, normally it's just a randomness in the background. Someone could be flipping people off. We don't know. Nope. Not this year.
Over on Twitch, people complimented both of our sunglasses. Different style, but they said both old school, because you went with the aviator, classic style.
Definitely more aviator. Definitely
mine's
more
a Clubmaster, classic style. Mine's more 50s.
That's what
60s.
You normally wear, isn't
it? Yeah, typically.
Got to have sunglasses at camp. You just do. You know, otherwise I'd be squinting the whole entire show during the camera.
No, I don't need
looking
that
looking
at
the camera.
Life. I don't need that in my life. We can talk some more Chiefs coming up here at 11:30. Chiefs Red Half Hour, full Chiefs. Obviously, we're at training camp for our first show at camp. We'll be back Wednesday and Friday. This week, we'll be at camp plenty for you this week. But I was thinking about a player over the weekend that I thought kind of perfectly encompassed why, if when people ask me, because I was around family on vacation a little bit, or friends, or people who know what you do, and they're like, "Hey, do you think the Royals are going to make the playoffs?" That was a really consistent question for you. Do you think the Royals are going to make the playoffs? And I kept giving the answer yes, and I was like, you know, I kind of need a reason. Like, I should have a reason why I'm telling them yes. The reason why is not because, like, Bobby Jr. is maybe the best player in all of baseball this year. He's hitting, like, 500 in his last 15 games. Yes, those are reasons why the team will make the playoffs. The reason, the swing reason why I think they will is Brady Singer. He perfectly encapsulates what most playoff teams don't have. A super reliable third starter in your rotation. And I would argue that he's been significantly better than that for a good chunk of this season, but he has pitched to a 3-earned run average. He, in the middle, like in the postgame, he said he watched somebody throw a pitch a certain way and made a slight adjustment, and he dominated in his last start. So he's willing to adjust in the middle of the season. He's been almost as good as the guys who have been great in Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo. He is like the encapsulation of the swing player for why I think they'll make it. Having a good enough starter there at that point can be the difference between why you're two games short of the postseason or you're actually in it.
No, I think it's fair. He doesn't get talked about as much because of the two All-Stars and Reagans and Lugo and what they've been able to do. And Brady Singer, you know, at times we would have said, inconsistent. Not the case this year. Like, he had the one bad outing right before the All-Star break. Other than that, he has been terrific.
Yep.
He also just gives them options for the future of this organization, too. I know you're referencing this year what it can mean. Because, hey, if you get into a wild card three-game series, ideally you can line it up with Lugo and Reagans and Singer, and you're feeling great. I mean, how many other teams? Maybe one, two other teams have a better 1-2-3?
Maybe
the Mariners.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's not many teams that have a better 1-2-3, and yes, they had two All-Stars, so that tells us right there. But long-term, he gives them options. Look, they could hold on to him in the offseason, and all of a sudden you go into next year and you have Reagans and Lugo again. Maybe Michael Walker's back. Maybe he decides not to come back. With Bubic being a potential option next year, with Kyle Wright being a potential option, it opens you up to trades and the value.
His value of staying's gotten higher.
On Friday's show, Cody, we referenced an article from The Athletic that was discussing last year's trade deadline for the Royals.
Sure.
And the rumors about Salvi, the conversations that existed with the Marlins and the Rangers.
Sounded like a real series with the Rangers.
And one other note in that article, I think it was Rustin Dodd from The Athletic, who used to work here in Kansas City, he mentioned that the player the Rangers really wanted last year actually was Brady Singer. Now, they ended up trading for
They're just like, Max, hey, you got to toss in Salvi if you want everything you're after.
Yeah,
toss in Salvi.
Max Scherzer, Jordan Montgomery. Yeah. So I'm not saying he's getting traded to the Rangers or traded to anybody in the offseason, but he's the guy that, because of his performance this year, is going to give them a lot of flexibility. He can either be number two, number three next year, or you're going to get a nice haul that can, you know, help you in a spot you need help at next year in the big leagues. But this year, he's going to give them an opportunity if they can get in the dance.
He's why they're making the dance.
Yeah.
For me, that's why they're making the postseason. It's Brady Singer. I get it. Like, if we're ranking out, if you and I had to rank out 1 through 10 the most important players of why they're making the postseason, I understand why Lugo and Reagans and Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez are, right? I understand why some players rank ahead here and there. He's the reason why, because a lot of teams can acquire one or two good starters, one or two good position players. Sometimes they can acquire great position players. The Royals have had great position players before. They had Carlos Beltran in the middle of losing 100 games after 100 games after 100 games. But the difference, and this isn't the only difference, but a huge difference for why you win 56 games last year and why you win so many this year is, okay, yeah, you got Reagans and Lugo, so you're way better. But Singer's way better. His performance is better. He also seems like he's just figured out all the stuff about being in the big leagues. I know people didn't want to make this excuse about the World Baseball Classic because other guys pitching it, but they essentially just gave him a month-long vacation to not throw. And I think Brady had to learn from that, and he did. He did. I'm not making an excuse for his entire year because I don't think his numbers. I think he was better than his numbers were last year. He's just been so consistent this season, and this weekend was another example. He was great this weekend.
He was, and it was a nice quick bounce back. If anybody was worried because he wasn't good in that Red Sox Sunday game before the break, and that was just you're going to have outlier performances, and that clearly, in 2024, what he looked like against the Red Sox was the outlier. And in general, the entire pitching staff is why they're, 10 games above 500 now, positioned where they are, sweeping the White Sox, occupying the final wild card spot, 5 back in the division. All that is because of the pitching. And someone we haven't even talked about yet today because we're at training camp, Bobby Witt Jr.
Dude, he's
we can't, we can't.
We just do a topic every day? We're like, Bobby Witt Jr. is just so good.
He is turning into, conversationally, what we had in the first 3 years of Mahomes, which was like, at some point, we're like, figuring out different ways to talk about how great the player is. We learned how to do that with Mahomes. We're going to have to learn how to do that with Bobby Witt Jr. because we all already know he's a superstar. It was reinforced during the Home Run Derby and the show he put on. Right now in the month of July, there's not a hotter player in baseball in July. He has been incredible, man. He's raised his batting average, I think, this month by 20-something points.
He's hitting like 340. I mean, I don't know if it's quite that high, but it's like it's right near there.
Yeah, the exact what is it? I think I had this yesterday. Yeah, he's raised his average 23 points in July in 20 days. He's raised his batting average over 20
points. He's hitting 337 now after a third straight three-hit day. Look, I could come on here and talk about Bobby Witt Jr. every single day. I think the easiest comparison is you have right now the best player in the NFL, and you have a top three, inarguably, top three player in baseball. Like, look, if you still want to say Shohei's better because when he throws, he does both things. And
you see Shohei?
Dude, I saw his home yesterday. Run, dude, yes.
Last night was insane.
Like across the highway or whatever.
Yeah.
You want to say Shohei? You want to make your argument for Mookie or a couple of other players that you can legitimately maybe kick around?
Yeah.
You cannot go to the mat with me and be like, you're crazy if you think Bobby Witt Jr. is a top three player. Look at the skill set. No player in baseball possesses the skill set altogether. He is like if you made a five-tool player in a lab, gold. He does everything. He plays Gold Glove defense. He's the fastest player in baseball. By the way, based on sprint speed this year, he's the fastest player in baseball. He also hits for average at .337, hits for extra base hits. He's top five in baseball. He's just, he's a five-tool player built in the lab. He's nuts. It's crazy.
He's going to finish second or third in MVP unless Judge gets hurt. You know, and so he's going to finish top three in MVP voting. I think it's pretty clear now. If you're wondering where the betting markets are at over at FanDuel, at least Aaron Judge -430 to win AL MVP. Gunnar Henderson 5-1. Bobby's 10-1, which is actually an increase. He fell back to 22-1.
Yeah, he did.
15 days ago, but because he is red hot, he's moved up. You know, he still weighs off. I think Judge is probably going to win it with the home runs, and depending on what the Yankees do. Remember, MVP award, it's not like Cy Young. MVP award, people factor in how the team is doing because you get into the value and all of that. If all of a sudden the Royals got red hot as a team and the Royals were in first place in the division, well, that would also help Bobby Wood Jr.'s case. And the Yankees have been slipping. That could hurt.
They're not a guarantee to win their division. That's what's funny about it.
And the Orioles, of course, right there are leading the AL East. That helps Gunnar Henderson's case. Yeah. But Bobby Wood Jr. is going to finish top two, top three in AL MVP voting, which is really special. We had said it when he got his contract extension in February, but I think we all are seeing it more and more. It's probably not going to be this year. But he's going to win an MVP in his career, at least
one. Yeah, I think so.
He's going to do it.
I think he's too good.
I don't think this year is going to be that year, even though he's putting up numbers that are absolutely good enough to win MVP in most years.
Mm-hmm.
But he's probably not going to get it done this year unless Judge gets hurt. I think, unfortunately, that's what it would take. But he's going to win an MVP at some point in his young career. Yeah. I think it's within the next 3 years he wins one.
No, I 100% agree. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't look at it. And you know what? You know what the difference. This is what makes him like Mahomes. And then we can hear from Clark Hunt in just a minute. But this is what makes him like Mahomes. He is clearly like, and you would like. This is like the conversation I remember who we were getting in a fight with about this. Maybe Nick or whatever. About like I said, no, everybody's not giving their best effort. Right?
Oh, some well, guys, that was a preseason thing.
Some guys are just
that
like,
was the first preseason game last year. Yeah. We were talking about preseason, so, and I said, oh yeah, the guy. You're like nobody. They're not all giving effort.
Like, they're not all.
I said the guy that's trying to get the last spot on the roster isn't it?
So like this kind of goes to there, but every player is not driven to be great. The way Patrick Mahomes is driven to be great. Everybody doesn't put in that amount of thought and effort the way Brady was driven to be great. Bobby Witt Jr. is so clearly driven to be great in that way. It is obvious in the way that he works, the way he approaches the game, the way everybody talks about him. He's not just superiorly talented, which he is. He is more talented than most people who play the sport. But in addition to that, he is also more motivated by greatness than the average player. Maybe because he can taste it. Some guys just get to rest on, like, they're great and they get to just live their life and be great.
I think we also are, I don't know about you, like, it helps when the team's doing well, no doubt, but enjoying watching Bobby more too, coupled with winning, but because we know that we're not stressing whether or not this offseason he's leaving and getting traded or something, that he's locked up long term via the contract extension, the largest one in Royals history. That also, coupled with the winning and his performance, you can truly enjoy what we're experiencing. And it's going to be a fun month. I'll say August now, because after this week, this homestand, next thing you know, we're going to be in the month of August, and we're going to be in the true home stretch of the season. It is going to be a blast. And I'll be honest, just as for what we do as a living, Cody, I know we're at camp and we're talking tons of Chiefs. We'll continue talking tons of Chiefs. We'll get right back to Chiefs in about 10 minutes. It's nice having real Royals conversations while we're up here as well. Not just the, who are they? Are they going to trade away Scott Barlow? They should trade away Sal, that stuff. No, we're having conversations about who they should trade for. We're having conversations about an MVP caliber player. We're having conversations about being five back in the division, occupying the final wild card spot, how it was a perfect weekend because they swept the White Sox and the Red Sox didn't perform well. All of this is fun. We haven't been able to have these conversations since you and I have been doing this show, and believe it or not, we're going on year five. We've never had this while we're at camp before.
No, we haven't. You want to have a party? A Cody and Gold five-year party?
I don't know if we can do a five-year. To me, is it, do we
have
to wait
5 years?
Do we have to wait
till 10? I can't promise you 10.
Well, neither can I.
So we might as well just celebrate 5. We can't be promised.
You want to do 5 just in case we don't get a 10?
we can do a 10 too. But
I mean, if you want to post football season,
a
5-year Cody and Gold bash, we can do that if you want. We can have a party. I don't know if anybody's ever done a 5-year party. Usually, I feel like it's a 10 or 20-year thing.
I don't care.
But in radio these days, five's like 10, you know? So why not?
It's like double. This isn't the 60s, dude. I'm going to just like have this job forever. might as well lean in now.
Oh, my goodness. All right, up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour as we continue broadcasting from training camp. And our training camp coverage is brought to you by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to hear from the owner of the Chiefs, Clark Hunt. What did he have to say about the future of Arrowhead and where they're playing in 6-plus years? That's next.
Hey, it's Brady Singer. You're listening to Cody and Gold. Weekdays starting at 10 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Chiefs Kingdom, this is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold, every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
We continue broadcasting live from St. Joe, Chiefs training camp inside the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities. You can check out the video stream as well. We're on till 2 o'clock. The stream is up and running on Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube as well. Thanks again to Chamari Connor, who joined us a little bit earlier on this hour. While we were talking to Chamari, though, the owner of the Chiefs, Clark Hunt, was also holding a little bit of media availability. You can imagine a bulk of that conversation centered around the future site for the Chiefs post-2030 season. And is it going to be at the Truman Sports Complex? Is it going to be a new stadium, a renovation, Kansas? Where could they be playing? This was some of that conversation Clark Hunt had with members of the media a short while ago.
Arrowhead, and GHA Field at Arrowhead is a special place, and it's special for our fans, and it's special for the players and coaches. But we do have to look to the future, and we do need a solution starting in 2031, which I know that Mark mentioned. We're glad to have some options. We really appreciate what the Kansas legislature did in passing the upgrade to the Starbond bill that potentially would give us an opportunity to look at a stadium over there. And we're going to work very hard over the coming months and years to come up with a solution that makes sense for the organization, for the team, but also one that makes sense for the community. So we're approaching it very much with an open mind and look forward to talking to leaders on both sides of the state line.
You were very upfront about your love of Arrowhead, trying to keep it as long as possible. Do you feel like you and the organization need to do something else to ensure that you get that extra 25 years if you do get another chance to present it to Jackson County or get Jackson County to have maybe a more stronger argument for keeping the stadium? Do you feel like you or the organization need to do anything different?
Well, part of our evaluation over the next several months and in coming years will be looking at whether we're better off in a renovated building or in a new stadium. And that new stadium could be on the Missouri side as well. It doesn't have to be on the Kansas side. I had a bunch of season ticket holders come up to me today to share how special Arrowhead is with them, and we know that, but we do have to look to the future, and potentially having a new building, whether it's on the Missouri or Kansas side, may make the most sense.
For a long time, you were consistent in saying that your preferred outcome was a renovated Arrowhead. Do you still feel that way? Is that your desired outcome?
We're really approaching it with an open mind, we don't have a desired outcome. We just have to find a solution that works for the community and something that works for the club.
Whenever a vote fails, there's speculation, and there's been some national punditry about the interest that maybe the Chiefs would have outside of Kansas City. Would you have? Can you see any scenario where you would consider an option outside Kansas City Metro?
Yeah. Well, we have a special connection with the community and with the Chiefs Kingdom, and our focus is very much on finding a solution here in the metropolitan area.
Have you looked at that 6 month? Mark Donovan had mentioned about kind of 6 months or something with the deadline. Are you kind of putting the deadline at 6 months too, or is it something where you're more open-minded where you don't want?
Yeah, I think what Mark was trying to communicate is the urgency, and we definitely feel like this is an urgent issue that we've got to find a solution for in the near term. And I would agree with Mark that we would like to make some significant progress over the next 6 months. I know from having been through a few stadium efforts that they're slow moving and unpredictable. So to say we'll be able to get to the finish line in 6 months is probably optimistic, but we would like to make some progress.
Mark, what's most important with the training facility? What's not the stadium for you guys, finding a training facility or staying in the same place?
Yeah, well, we love our training facility, but we've outgrown it. And it's hard to believe, 15, 16 years after it was built, that we've outgrown it. But every NFL team has grown in terms of the number of people, number of players, number of coaches. And long term, that's going to be part of what we have to look at. It would either be a major renovation of our existing training facility or the construction of the new training facility that would help us accommodate not only the size of the organization now, but also where we're likely to grow over the next couple of decades.
Neil, you had an opportunity to look at the possibility of cover Arrowhead Stadium, something that could be rolled or could be put on there. And in talking to the people with the architecture firms, they say it's very doable. Is that something you might revisit so that you can make that into more of a multi-purpose facility?
Yeah, well, I would say all options are on the table. And as you know, that was something that we considered 20 years ago when we were working on the renovations that took place starting in 2006. I do think we'll look at it again. I mentioned the possibility of a new stadium also on the Missouri side. And I think if we went that route, certainly we would have to look at a dome. Dome gives you an ability to host a lot of other events, which could be important for the community.
Well, lastly, with Sam and Adam, what's
a couple things. Like, just your last effort was so focused on Jackson County. Since obviously the options have expanded, has that time period taught you anything? Have you learned anything maybe about your own preferences for what you'd like to see part of the new stadium, renovated Arrowhead, just anything different that maybe you thought was very important?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, our goal is to find a solution that's great for the community. I do think a renovated Arrowhead would be a very good solution, but I also think a new stadium and what that could bring to the community in terms of really big events. I think that could be really valuable. And as we go into this process, we're doing it very much with an open mind and to look at all the possibilities. Obviously, we have the pleasure every year of playing in a lot of great stadiums, some of which have been recently renovated. Others are brand new, a lot of dome buildings. And we always use those opportunities to tour those buildings and think about, okay, what could we incorporate whichever direction we end up going.
All right, so that was Chiefs owner Clark Hunt for about 6 minutes there, all questions related to the stadium front. Did you pick up on what, at least what stood out to me? He, of course, says all options.
Sure.
And they do have all options on the table. I feel like if you compared this availability from Clark Hunt compared to whether it was when you and I had him on the show in February at the Super Bowl, whether it was right around the vote in Jackson County in April, it seems like there's a little bit more of a willingness to consider, open mind,
yeah,
a new stadium than before, where it was pretty clear, like, no, we're renovating. This is what this is important.
This is our only goal. This is what we want. Yeah.
And look, they should feel that way because every option's on the table. And he was multiple times he mentioned the new stadium doesn't have to just be in Kansas. I thought that was also notable. You know, we've all guilty of it personally. So, you know, when we think new stadium, we all have kind of assumed it would have to be in Kansas. He was quick to point out twice, at least, maybe three times in that interview, that new stadium could happen in Missouri as well.
Why could you and I had said from the beginning?
I don't want a renovated stadium.
I don't either. Yeah. Like, and it's not because Arrowhead isn't a cool stadium. I still think it's about the people, not the building. I think you can do the same things that the Royals would be doing in a new stadium, in the sense that, you know, you can incorporate football shape, scoreboard. You can pay homage to what the building was before and what it meant for this city, the same as I assume there'd be fountains in a new stadium built for the Royals or purposely built for the Royals. And so, of course, I think that's the case. But you can hear that. It's so obvious. Like, I'll tell you this right now. The odds of renovated Arrowhead seems like the least likely thing that's going to occur now. Because I think what happens in this scenario is, Gold, Kansas offers a new, brand new, state-of-the-art building, and he's like, ooh, that's shiny and nice. And Missouri's counter can't at that point just be, we'll let you fix up the stadium a little bit there, Clark. No, the option then, the counter offer at that time, is going to have to be, no, we'll build you a brand new shiny toy. Like, it just is, right? I mean, that's just the logic of it. I think that's where it's going to have to go.
What's tricky, unless it's a completely different area in Missouri, what would still be tricky about a new stadium in Missouri is, okay, the Royals, we know for sure, no matter what happens, are moving out of the K after 2030, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're moving downtown, wherever they're moving, they're moving.
They're going somewhere.
So if it's a new Arrowhead and it's in Missouri, if it's the same site, they can't even start construction on a new site in Jackson County
until 2030.
Unless you think the Chiefs are building a new stadium in, like, Clay County.
Here's the thing.
Or something else.
This
know what
is
I mean?
Kind of what Clark wanted the whole time. He just wanted a few more years with his baby. That's what he gets by doing this, Gold. If it is new Arrowhead built on the demolished site of Kauffman, he's cool with that. Because in that same, or if it's just built, just as long as it's still in Jackson County.
But how do you go back to the, back to that? Opinions change, positions change all the time, and this is somewhat political anyway with these conversations. But how can you come out, less than 6 months ago, Mark Donovan basically acknowledged that the current area around the Truman Sports Complex, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, yeah, it's not a developable area, right?
Correct.
So how can you then say that and then say, well, now we think it is, and we're gonna build a new stadium and have all this other stuff around it?
I mean, look, I don't think that that's an unfair question, but, like, maybe they're not going to put new stuff around it, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe it will just be a stadium in the middle. It's weird enough to explain this, but that's pretty much how stadiums work. Like, the Patriots Stadium, or, like, there's not always just, like, massive development around football stadiums for the same reason you and I have talked about the difference between why you and I both like downtown baseball versus non-baseball is football's once a week. You don't need a million things that you can, but you don't have to put a million developmental things around.
But the idea is if you have a new stadium, you're having other events, right? So it's not just
sure.
The 8 home games
yeah,
a year.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It's
concerts and other
potentially concerts, any other events.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, Final Four we're talking about once every 10 years or something, Super Bowl once every 25 years. You know what I mean? Like, who knows?
Sure.
But that would – Super Bowl I don't even think is realistic, even if they get a new stadium. I just don't think the NFL is putting a Super Bowl in Kansas City. It sucks, but I think we've seen the trend go more towards – Kansas City is a draft city in their mind, and the Super Bowls are going to Vegas, L.A., New Orleans, Atlanta, basically. That's pretty much in Miami. You know, I feel like that's the rotation. Maybe
it does seem like they've kind of settled comfortably into that. I'll be honest with you. Like, it does seem like the NFL has just kind of decided that the easiest path is to just allow for these. But, like, I don't know. I mean, like, I get it that they've said those things, but they also said that, like, the only thing I ever wanted is new Arrowhead. Now he's telling you he'll build a new stadium. So, like, those things are a little bit different.
He's more open-minded.
The other part, and Clark Hunt, that wasn't played in the audio because we were playing you the stadium part. The other part that was interesting that Clark Hunt said, he said there's been no communication with the league about Rashee Rice yet. How? It is July 22nd. The NFL season starts in 5 weeks. You haven't dropped a line, a hint, an idea, a call on what you might do with Rashee Rice? That just seems, I hate that the NFL does this. And they leave these teams in limbo gold, essentially just not knowing where they are.
I know we're talking about it because it's Kansas City, but I truly have felt this way about how the NFL approaches suspensions. If you are going to suspend somebody
for longer than what, four games?
More than four. So let's go five-plus games. To me, you have to, and I guess they haven't reached this deadline, by middle of August, to me, you have to notify that team that it's that suspension.
Sure.
We've seen guys get suspended in season because it's only a two-gamer. But if you're going to have, you know, a six-game suspension, let's call it, to me, you have to tell the team, whether it's the Chiefs, whether it's the Bills, whether it's Baltimore, I don't care. That kind of suspension, there's not going to be any new information that's coming out between now and August 15th or August 15th and September 1st. Yes, the legal system hasn't played out.
Unlikely.
But that has not prevented the league from laying down a punishment. So if you can't determine by August 15th what the suspension should be if you're the NFL, well then you can't. Then don't suspend them this year, and maybe we're talking this time next year about a suspension. Like, I actually think there is still the chance that he doesn't get suspended this season and that it's a next year thing. It's still only July 22nd, so we haven't even reached the middle of this random deadline that I've come up with in my own mind over the last month or two.
Sure.
We haven't reached August 15th, but that's kind of where I'll start to get really upset a little bit if we don't have a resolution.
I think that that's fair. I mean, look, again, I don't think that it's out of the question that that would be the way that it goes anyway, Gold. But, like, I just don't understand. Like, and I don't look, I don't think the league just keeps tabs, right? I don't think the league just does nothing, Gold, but, like, oh, what if I just text old Clark today and let him know what I'm thinking about this suspension? But I don't understand what takes so long. They have always said that part of their thing is wanting to wait out the legal process to take place. He admitted guilt. This, to me, is different. So many times in these legal cases, Gold, and I would say pretty consistently in these legal cases, what happens is the person is denying the thing they're accused of, right?
Yeah, so he admitted guilt, but not in the legal system, though, right? He didn't plead guilty.
No, but he said he was driving.
Right.
Like, there's no mystery remaining. You know what I'm saying? You know how fast he was going. You know he was driving. You know who got hurt. There's nothing more. Like, I get it from a legal process and a lawyer.
Just clearing that part up. I hear what you're saying. The facts of the case appear to be out there already.
Yes.
But, so I get what you're saying. I just mean, like, I don't want to, you said, like, he I didn't want to make it seem like he actually pled guilty.
No. I'm just saying, like, as far as I'm, from the eyes of the league, typically the league says, we like to let the legal process play out because, well, you know, you never know how these things are going to go, you know? Even though I think they're kind of full of it on that sometimes, too, because Ezekiel Elliott situation, everything else. But the fact that all the facts exist, the goal, there's just no figuring it out. The league doesn't have to be like, did he actually, was he driving? Who was driving? Like, he was driving. He said he was going fast. The accident happened. You know what he did. So just make your determination. Like, that's really all that matters at this point. Make your determination. I don't think that she should be waiting on that.
Because of that uncertainty, it's why we probably will continue to see, once he's back from an illness, Xavier Worthy get a ton of reps, you know, and trying to learn this offense. He missed a lot of the offseason workouts due to the hamstring injury. Even if you think McCall Hardman or Justin Watson will end up picking up more of the snaps if Rice is suspended than Worthy, I think we're going to see throughout camp, as we did yesterday, and if you're just joining us today, Worthy did not practice, but we did learn that it was due to an illness.
Thankfully.
Thank goodness it was just an illness, not an issue with the hamstring after one practice. Hopefully he's back tomorrow or Wednesday here on the football field in St. Joe. But I think Worthy's going to continue to get a ton of reps because of the suspension looming and just because he didn't practice much, man. Mm-hmm. This is all brand new. I mean, like as Andy kind of mentioned yesterday that, yeah, they liked what they saw, but like this is like day one of install. You know, yesterday was day one of install or whatever. It's one of 11.
I just don't – well, yeah. I mean, I'm happy that it was just an illness because yesterday my initial thought was what your initial thought was, right, which is – they were using him in a way that's great, I think, across the board because it makes it look like they want to make sure he's up to speed because he missed so much of the offseason, Gold. They made work of him yesterday. They put him all over the field. He did, you know, he caught the deep passes you want to see. He was able to track deep passes from what we could see. All the things that you would typically want out of Xavier Worthy. I'll be honest, my first initial thought was like, he's not at practice. A day after looking so good, he's not at practice. Illness? Cool. We're fine. I was like, man, you took 3 months off for that hamstring. If it's already a problem, no good. Like, versus now, right, where it's an illness. I'm like, great, he'll be back tomorrow. He'll be back on Wednesday. I got to watch him do it. They seem pretty dedicated, I'll be honest. They seem really dedicated on making sure that he is, like, that making sure he's a part of the offense day one.
Yeah, here's what Andy Reid had to say about Xavier Worthy, or I think now everybody's starting to catch on more. We're just going to start calling him X, what he looked like at practice yesterday.
Yeah, he's been working hard. Looks like his hamstring feels better. We just got to keep him going here and keep learning. We're just one install into it, and they've got 12 of them. So it's he's got a lot more information coming at him and formations and shifts and motions and all that stuff. So, but, you know, he did a nice job today.
That's going to be the key of picking up on –
yeah, I'd say so.
The playbook. But seriously, like we know with Andy in particular, you got to know every assignment, not just that, okay, he can get open. Does he know the blocking assignments? Does he line up properly?
Because they haven't been able to just like coach you on the field and be like, no, you're supposed to be here, not that, you know, because if you're on the field, they can work with you both in a meeting room scenario, as you and I know.
But everybody, was, I mean, it's one play yesterday, one great-looking throw from Mahomes rolling out to his left and just launching that thing.
Is this where you're going to be the wet blanket for once?
No, I'm just going to say, in general, with all these slow-mo videos and all that, like everybody, I mean, there will probably be a catch in slow-mo for Nico Remigio. There'll probably be one for Justin Ross. There's probably going to be one for Jared Wiley at some point.
Sure.
There's most likely going to be one for LRZ. They already put out one video last week for LRZ, and it was slow motion with no pad, just catching a ball in the flat. Like,
smart.
So, you know. This is the kind of stuff that's going to continue to come out. But yesterday, I'll admit, was more of a like, – it wasn't just a slow-mo catch. That was just an impressive play all the way around between Mahomes and Xavier Worthy. But I'm excited for the pads later on in the week.
Well,
that's when you can start to tell more about even the defensive line and how Felix Anudike Uzama is looking.
Yeah.
We're going to talk more about Kingsley on the offensive line coming up in the next 15 minutes as well.
Yeah, no, I think that was just one of those – you and I had talked about it to start the show. I think the biggest key on that one, Gold, is that it was what we had been asking for out of wide receivers that we had not seen out of wide receivers. So, like, we had not gotten a chance to see a wide receiver deep track a football, right? Like, I know that sounds simple, but, like, that would have been fine, and I would have liked that. And now we're getting that back in. I think that's what matters probably more to me than anything. A guy ran. The ball wasn't directly in his hands without having to move in any conceivable way. He then moved, Gold, and found the football. Something that you and I have been asking for this entire time.
He got drafted for that play we saw yesterday, even if it wasn't in pads. That exact play yesterday, that's why he got drafted. Where Mahomes is scrambling or whatever, he wasn't even really scrambling, just rolling out to his right.
Yeah.
And he has the ability to know that he can launch that thing and that you're going to be able to track the ball. Something that Mecole Hardman has struggled with, something that clearly MVS struggled with, and even when he tracked it, he wasn't able to catch the football. That's going to be the key. That's what's exciting. Him and Hollywood Brown. I mean, even out here today, I don't know if there'll be video of it, Hollywood Brown on multiple deep passes right in front of us. They were on the field in front of us today here in St. Joe. We saw Hollywood Brown on multiple opportunities. One was converted. One, Trent McDuffie made a great play to break it up.
Because he's one of the best.
That's the element that we all know why Hollywood Brown and Worthy are here. Those particular plays. They're going to do other things for this offense, but those are the game-changing type of plays that they just did not have last year, and how much easier could things be for Mahomes in this offense if early in the season,
significantly,
I mean, if they connect early in the year and what that will do for defenses in future games, if week one or week two against Baltimore and Cincy, if Hollywood Brown or Worthy, if they connect on one or two deep passes, then you have to be for touchdowns, just 40-plus yard passes. If they get a couple of those, then the defense is going to actually have to start to adjust. And suddenly, underneath, guess who's wide open, or at least going to make their job easier? Suddenly, Kelsey's job gets way easier.
Should.
Rashee Rice, if he's playing, his job gets easier.
I don't know, man. What percentage chance do you think that just Rashee Rice doesn't get suspended?
It's gone up.
The beginning of this year.
Yeah. He's going to eventually get suspended. But for this year, I still think it's probably like a 15 or 20% chance that he doesn't. Okay. It's an 80% chance that he does. But, yeah, it's got – I would have said before there's only like a 5% chance he doesn't get suspended. I'll bump it up. It's training camp now, and we haven't heard anything yet.
Okay.
I'll bump it up every week a little bit because –
Well, yeah, because then we're closer to it, and nothing's happened.
The NFL, I still wonder if they want him playing that Thursday night opener national stage, considering everybody knows what occurred.
Man, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, you really would – you really would think that maybe that was the case. But, again, consistently – The NFL sometimes drags these things out, Golden. We're having a completely different conversation. So.
We continue to broadcast here from St. Joe. Chiefs training camp coverage presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. Up next, we get to what's trending and what we saw so far from that left tackle competition. Who actually has the leg up, or does anybody? That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.